Will you please turn to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read from verse 37 through verse 39. For yet a very little while, he that comes will come and will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. And if he draw back, my soul does not take pleasure in him. But we are not drawers back to perdition, but of faith to saving the soul. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Same chapter, verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank thee because of thy precious promise. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. Lord, how we praise and thank thee that thou art in our midst. Thou art our Lord, and we do come before thy presence to worship thee, to open our hearts to thee, and to hear what thou wast to say to us. Dear Lord, speak, thy servants heareth, in thy precious name. Amen. Thank God for gathering us again this morning. I often feel that every time when God's people are gathered together, it shows the mercy of God. He knows what we need, and he is ever ready to supply the need. So may the Lord be glorified as we gathered here this morning. I believe everybody knows what is the theme of this conference. Live by faith. The scripture verses used for this conference come from Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 37 through verse 39. Wonderful verses. For yet a very little while, I was impressed with the word very little while. He that comes will come and will not delay. Brothers and sisters, it has been more than 2,000 years since our Lord has promised us that he will come back to receive us to himself. And yet here it says, for yet a very little while, he will come and will not delay. Because to the Lord, a year is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a year. So in other words, it is only 2 days. 1,000 years is a day. And here we are in after 2,000 years. So far as God is concerned, it is just 2 days. And you remember your Hosea, it is said, on the third day, the rescue will come. So actually, we are very, very close to the coming of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if the Lord should come now, how glorious it will be. But it is true, he can come at any moment now. But we do realize, as we approach the coming of the Lord, the days get more and more difficult. The enemy cannot do anything to the Lord. So the only thing he can do to prevent the Lord's purpose to be fulfilled is to work against God's people. So that's the reason why, as the coming of the Lord is approaching, the days, so far as we are concerned, gets more and more difficult. But thank God, God has given us a secret. How can we endure during these difficult times? It is by faith. So he says, but the just shall live by faith. And if he draw back, my soul does not take pleasure in him. The Lord expects us to live by faith. Now oftentimes, when you think the word live by faith, what is your impression? Oh, your impression is there are a few people, very few, who live by faith. That is, they do no other work, and they live by trusting the Lord to supply their every need. That is living by faith. But that is not a scriptural interpretation. By the grace of God, every believer lives by faith. If you are not living by faith, by what are you living? You are living by yourselves and not trusting the Lord for your life. So, brothers and sisters, we are not drawers back to perdition. The word perdition here, you have to read the context, because the book of Hebrews is written to believers. So it does not refer to eternal death. Within the context of the book of Hebrews, perdition means you are not able to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Thank God, if we live by faith, then we are not drawers back to perdition, but of faith to saving the soul. So, brothers and sisters, as we gathered here this time, our theme is live by faith. Now, my assignment is the consummation of faith. But I feel that unless we know the commencement of faith, how can we talk about consummation? So you have to excuse me to go back to the very beginning. What is faith? Now here, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this is the only place where faith is giving us some explanation. You cannot say it's the definition, but at least it gave us some explanation. So what is faith? He said, now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, even if you may have different versions, this is the Dabe vision, and it is a very accurate version. He tries to be very accurate to the original, and his English is not very smooth. But anyway, it is very correct. So listen, faith is, what is it? Faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When you are talking about faith, actually you're talking about two things. One objective and one subjective. Faith has its objective side, and faith has its subjective side. Now, what is the objective side? That is to say, something outside of you. The objective side is God. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that draws near to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him out. So when you are talking about faith, first of all, you need to know the objective side of faith. What is faith based upon? And it tells us the objective side, or the substance, is God. God is the substance of our faith, and He is a rewarder of them that seek Him out by faith. So here you find the objective of faith is God Himself. Thank God He is. He is the great I Am. In other words, He is everything to us. This is our God. And not only that, but He is also the rewarder of those who seek after Him. In other words, if you seek after Him, He will reward you. He will reward you even with Himself. That is the objective side of faith. That is the substance. And here Darby used the word substantiating, a verbal noun. Now what does it mean? It means that here is a substance, but you have the ability to bring that substance from outside into your inward experience. That is substantiating. For instance, we have this picture of the house here. That is the substance. It is here. Even before you come into this hall, it is already here. It does not depend upon your entrance to the building or not. It is there. Already there. And you come into this building. I think every one of us, as we come into the building and look forward, you will see that building. But if a blind man come into the building and you tell him, there is the picture of a building at the wall, he said, I don't see it. Therefore, to him, it is nothing. There is no substance there. Even though the substance is there, but because he cannot substantiate it, so he does not see it. And because he doesn't see it, to him, this building picture is not there. Now that is exactly what faith is. So faith is the substantiating of the things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. So brothers and sisters, here you see the two sides of faith. So far as faith as a truth itself is concerned, it's already there. It's forever true. It never changes. Not because you do not see it, therefore it disappears. Whether you see it or not, it is there. It is an eternal fact. God is. He is the great I Am. He is everything that you need. He is the first and He is the last. And He is the eternal one. This is truth, forever there, whether you believe or not. But brothers and sisters, what if you believe? Then you experience the glory of it. For instance, if there is a sunrise, and it so happened that before we come here, we stay in a house that can see the sun rising in the morning. And what a beautiful sunrise it was. But brothers and sisters, if I'm blind, even though sun rises in such a wonderful way, to me it is nothing. And because it is nothing, I cannot say there is no sunrise. The sun will not rise because you do not see it. Now you do not have that power. Whether you see it or not, it rises. And it is so glorious. But blessed are those who can see the sun rising. You can enjoy it. It is as if the sun rising in your heart, and it becomes your experience. So this is exactly what faith is. Brothers and sisters, there is no problem with the objective side, because we are told in verse 6 of chapter 11, God is. And he is the rewarder of those who seek after him. This is eternal truth, never changes. But the problem is with us, whether we believe it or we do not believe it. If you believe it, you see it. You have substantiated it. And you begin to experience it. It's a wonderful experience. But if you do not have faith, it is like the blind who cannot see. And to him, there is nothing. So this is how important faith is. You know, faith is like casting an anchor. When you cast an anchor from the ship, to steady your ship, you do not cast it on board. You cast it to the sea. You cast it into somewhere you cannot see. But you know that it will steady your boat. So this is what faith is. We are casting our anchor upon God, who is, and he is the rewarder of all who seek him. Now, brothers and sisters, faith is a living thing. You remember in Luke chapter 16, now before that, the Lord said, if your brother sin against you, and he comes and confess and ask your forgiveness, you forgive him. And if in a day he offended you 7 times, but every time you come back and say, excuse me. Now, will you excuse him? So when the disciples heard about that, they said, that's something we cannot do. If a person sinned against me first time, all right, I suffer for it. Second time, it becomes more difficult. 7 times, how can I forget a person who sinned against me 7 times? It shows that he is not repentant at all. I cannot forgive him. So the disciples were surprised. And they said, Lord, give us more faith. We have faith to forgive people once. But we do not have faith to forgive people 7 times within a day. That's too much for us. So they said, Lord, give us more faith. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if your faith is like a mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. But a mustard seed is living. That seed has a life in it. And even though it is very small, the smallest of all seeds, and yet the Lord said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can command a sycamore tree to be planted in the sea. Now that's impossible. How can a tree planted in the sea. And the Lord said, well, that means faith can do the impossible. And that is what the Lord is expecting each one of us. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe that He is? He is everything to you. Do you believe that if you seek Him, He will reward you? If you do, that is living faith. So, dear brothers and sisters, how can we get that living faith? You cannot get that living faith by turning unto yourself. You know, we tend to look within ourselves and see if there is faith there. But if you do, you will never find faith there. Only unbelief. Have you experienced that? I do. But if you want to really have living faith, you have to look outside. Look up unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He is the one who gives us faith. And He is one who will complete our faith. So do not look at yourself. Do not look at around you. Do not look at your brothers and sisters. You know, the more you look at yourself, the more you are disappointed, in despair. The more you look at your brothers and sisters, the more you regret. But brothers and sisters, if we look off all these things and look to Jesus, He is the author and finisher of faith. So this is actually what faith is. But you know, brothers and sisters, since faith is living, everything that lives will grow. If it is something living and does not grow, it shows there's no life there. If there is life there, it's bound to grow. When we are born with a human life. And because we have that life, we grow up. From babyhood to childhood, from childhood to teenage, and from teenage to a grown up. You have to grow up because there's life there. So the same thing is faith. If the faith is real, it's bound to grow. Now how will our faith grow? God, in His wonderful wisdom, He shows the way of growth. In other words, faith grows by trial. If your faith is never tried, tested, challenged, your faith will never grow. So you know the way that God to have our faith grow up is through trials. And trials come from two directions. As you read the Bible, you find that trial can either come from God Himself. God will test us. But it can also come from the enemy. He will tempt us. Now there is a great difference between testing and tempting. As you read the book of James, you find God never tempt anybody. He cannot be tempted, and He will not tempt anyone. Temptation comes from the enemy. When God tests us, tries us, it is not temptation. It is testing. Now, what is the difference? When God is testing us, He already has built something of faith in us. He will not test us beyond what He has already put inside us. Look at Abraham. When God called him to come out of Ur of Chaldea, to leave his family, his native place, and go to where God will lead him. Abraham obeyed, but only partially, because he consulted with his father, Terah. And after he consulted with his father, and his father realized that his son has determined to leave, the father said, I'll leave with you. To put it another way, the father takes the lead. And so Abraham came out of Ur of Chaldea. But when they come to Haran, the father said, that's far enough. Let's stay. So you find that when Abraham started this path of faith, he only succeeded halfway. We do not know how long Terah lived in Haran. But as long as he lived there, and Abraham with him, there was no more revelation from above. Not until God took Terah away. And then God said, go. Go of your kindred, out of your kindred. But unfortunately, he took Lot with him. So you find in the beginning, Abraham's faith was not perfect. But God knows, He allows us to begin with imperfection. Now, if you say, wait until I have perfect faith, then I will leave. Then, brothers and sisters, you will forever stay in Ur of Chaldea. Go as far as you can. So Abraham, he went, he came to Canaan. But again you find God tested him. While he was there, there was a famine. And Abraham, without consulting God, went to Egypt. And you know what happened in Egypt. He tried to save the situation, but it makes the situation worse. She was stuck there. What can he do? Only God can intervene. And thank God he did intervene and deliver Abraham. So he came back. And he built an altar unto God. But unfortunately, Lot was with him. His kindred still with him. And you find how the Lord divided them. And until then, God spoke to him again. After he saved Lot from the four kings, he got a big victory. But you know, oftentimes, when we got a big victory, the next will be a big letdown. It is as if you have exerted all your strength and now a great letdown. So God again spoke to him. And you see how in Genesis 15, he doubted God's promise. He said, I have no son. What's the promise that you have given me this land? And how gracious was God. Until he believed. So again, you find God bring up Abraham's faith. Until when you come to Genesis chapter 22, God has built up enough faith in Abraham. So God gave him the last test. God said, give me your son, your beloved son. Offer him to me at Mount Moriah. And it took 3 days for Abraham to reach Mount Moriah. So in other words, God gave him enough time to repent. But Abraham's faith has been built up through the years by God's grace. God has put enough faith in Abraham. He knows that when he tested Abraham, Abraham will come out even more glorious. And that's what testing is. And I believe we all know how Abraham took his son, traveled 3 days' journey, gave him enough time to think over, until they reached Mount Moriah. And as he and his son ascended the mount, the son said, Father, we have everything here. We have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the sacrifice? You know, that spoke very deeply into Abraham's father's heart. And Abraham said, God will provide. See that faith? He bound Isaac. He raised up the knife. And God said, that's enough. So, brothers and sisters, so far as God is concerned, he will try our faith. But remember, when he tries our faith, he has already put enough faith in us to pass the test. And that makes our faith even grow stronger. But brothers and sisters, there is another way that God will allow to come to us to make our faith grow, and that is by temptation. Remember, temptation never comes from God. God never tempts anybody, and he cannot be tempted by anything. So, in James he said, temptations come from the enemy. The enemy tries to draw out within us our flesh, because our flesh is his ally. So he tries to draw our flesh out. And as our flesh is being drawn out, then we lose our faith. But thank God, even though God allows the enemy to tempt us, because the enemy cannot do anything to us without God's permission. Brothers and sisters, how comforting that is. I will not say about unbelievers, but so far as believers are concerned, once you are saved, you are the Lord's, and the Lord will take care of you. He will never allow us to be tempted more than that we can bear. And even if he does allow us to be tempted, it is because there is something in us he wants to get rid of. And the best example is Job. Job is not an Israelite, and yet he feared God. In his generation, he was perfect. And God was able to use him to challenge Satan. Now, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. God will not use you to challenge Satan if he has not built in you already enough faith. And if it does come, it means your faith, through going through fire, become more precious. And that's what Job is. One day God has his government and all his messengers standing before him. And Satan came too. And God challenged Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job?" Of course, Job was Satan's target. So he told the Lord, "Is there not reason why he fear you? It is because you surround him with a hedge. You bless him. You give him all the prosperity. That's why he fear you. Suppose you take away all these things. See if he will not rebel against you." Now what a challenge that is. But thank God, God knows he has put enough faith in Job. He knew that Job could stand that temptation. And when he comes out of the temptation, he will be doubly blessed. So God says, "All right, you go ahead and do whatever you want with him, but don't touch him. Touch his life." And you know how cruel was Satan. He took everything that Job had away. Not only his vast properties, but even his 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's what Satan is. But thank God. Job said, "God gives and God takes. Blessed be the Lord." But the temptation was over, not over yet. And you find again, there was another day God set his throne and the angels before him and Satan come. And the Lord challenged Satan and say, "You see my servant. I allow you to attack him, but see how he honored me." And you know how cruel was Satan. He said, "Yes." What he had, everything he had been taken away, but his life. "You still keep him strong and well. Suppose you attack his body and see what happened." So the Lord said, "All right, go ahead. Only keep his life." And you know how Job was attacked in his body. He sat among ashes, rubbed himself. But he still kept his faith in God. His 3 friends come to comfort him, but on the contrary, they came to hurt him. But Job, in spite of everything, he could say, "Even though he slay me, I will still trust in him. I know my Redeemer liveth. Someday I will stand before him. I do not understand today, but someday he will justify me And you all know how the Lord bless him afterwards. Give him double. That is sonship. So out of his trouble, out of the attack of the enemy, he gains sonship. Brothers and sisters, this is what would happen to God's people. Whenever Satan tempts you, remember one thing, that he cannot tempt you whenever and whatever he wants without God's permission. So if you are being tempted, remember, it's because God's permitted. And why does God permit it? It is because God knows there is something in our life that still needs to be dealt with. Job's self-righteousness is something that needs to be dealt with. And it is only through that testing, that temptation, that Job came to the point to see that he was nothing. He repented in dust and ashes. So God accomplished his purpose wonderfully. His faith has been tempted by the enemy, but only draw out that which God has deposited into his life and make it purified and more wonderful. So dear brothers and sisters, if you are now under temptation, you wonder why God allowed you to be tempted like this. Remember, it is because he wants to purify you and bring your faith to such purity that you may gain sonship. So that is what God will do with everybody, every one of us. So dear brothers and sisters, before we will enter into the subject of the triumph of faith, the consummation of faith, I hope first of all we will understand what faith really is. And also we will understand that faith will be tested and even will be tempted. But God is behind it. And he is in charge of everything. And he will bring us into submission to the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we listen to thy word, we praise and thank thee. How perfect is thy word. We thank thee that thou hast explained to us what faith is, and also thou hast shown us the way that faith will grow until we are conformed to the image of thy beloved Son. Oh dear Lord, how we praise and thank thee that thou truly our Heavenly Father, and thou lovest to such an extent that thou wilt not allow us to remain as babes, but thou want us to grow up into sonship. So Lord, bless thy people, and may thy word make its impression upon each one of us, that we will give ourselves to thee, totally, faithfully, believing that thou art perfecting us, thou art bringing us into the fullness of thy purpose. So Lord, we bow in worship. We ask in thy precious name. Amen.